The US is crumbling under a mountain of debt and is only getting heavier. The government has been borrowing its way out of crisis after crisis. Companies took out billions in loans to funnel to their shareholders while raising prices at the exact same time. Meanwhile, personal debt is soared as people do whatever they can to make it to the next paycheck. The financial crisis showed us just how bad massive levels of debt could be. You see, every economy stands on a few key pillars. In America and most of the West, those are consumer spending, upward mobility through education, corporate growth, and public infrastructure. But each of these is now showing cracks and some are already collapsing. And yet despite all of these warning signs, the government deficit just keeps on climbing up and the debt hole just gets deeper and deeper. Which is getting people asking, where is the limit? Nobody knows when the crunch will happen, when it becomes too much for society to handle. Have we already gone past the point of no return? And who's actually paying for it all? If nobody's got a plan to slow this down, then a collapse is all but inevitable. But the problem in answering this is how big of a question this really is. In a healthy economy, debt is still essential. People borrow money to buy cars so they can go to work. Companies take on loans so they can expand and increase their revenue. Governments go into debt so they can build infrastructure, invest in their society, and reap the benefits later down the line. Debt plays such a fundamental role in our lives that you can't just approach it from one angle. If you do, you won't get the full picture. Something that all the statistics and figures miss is the reality on the front lines. You could know every tiny detail about the wider economics, but you'd still learn something new by talking to the people in line for the food banks. Those lines are getting longer and longer. Lots of people simply just can't fit grocery shopping into their budget. Meanwhile, others are doom spending, going into debt just to order a pizza. Maybe they can sense the catastrophe is on its way, or maybe they just don't know any better. And so this is the first pillar that's crumbling down of the four we're gonna go into in this video. And that's consumer spending. But this isn't because people stop buying, it's because they're buying with money they don't even have from companies that profit when they default. And this is all due to buy now, pay later schemes. If you've ever bought anything online, then you're probably already familiar with how this works. Instead of paying the full price upfront at the checkout, an increasing number of stores offer the ability to pay in installments. The store isn't fronting the bill. Instead, that's where the buy now, pay later companies come in. Businesses like Klarna, Clearpay, and Zilch supply the initial payment, as long as you can agree to pay them back. And unlike credit cards or small personal loans, buy now, pay later or BNPL companies offer a quick and easy way to finance small to medium purchases. The people who use it, whether they know this or not, begin to get hooked on its speed and its convenience. Meanwhile, the retailers love that it converts more online window shopping into actual sales. The name of the game for BNPL companies, like lots of tech startups, is convenience. PayPal, Klarna, Affirm, and Afterpay all want people to be able to take out loans with them as quickly and easily as possible. And it's this concept that could very well be the beginning of the end of the economy, the new 2008 crisis. And it's all based on this premise. The ideal scenario for them plays out like this. When a customer opts to use their services, they want as few obstacles as possible. Usually all they need in the US is an address, a phone number, your full name and social security number, and a bank account. This makes it exceedingly easy for someone to go into debt. Imagine you're just a teenager and you've been saving up for a console or a phone. While browsing the options online, you see the pay in four offer with no extra cost and it seems too good to be true. You impulsively click buy and within seconds, the system approves it. Nearly everyone gets instantly approved and most people will get high limits to their spending with interest-free installments on top. That's literally it. There's no lengthy credit card checks or financial history like with regular credit cards. Just an instant service designed to mask what's really going on. And then once you're approved, you're on the hook. While the decision to buy now and pay later might be instant, it can have some incredibly long-term consequences if you ever miss a payment. For example, that teenager that bought that console is now on the hook for those payments, and if they're late on any of them, it can be the beginning of a terrible debt spiral. They might not have even realized they were going into debt either. When a consumer rights group interviewed some of the users of Klarna, they found that a disturbing amount of people had no idea they had effectively opened a line of credit. Instead, they said that they thought it was just another method of payment, or a way for them to manage their own finances. These people are exactly the kinds of people Affirm, Afterpay, and other companies are looking to hook in. A recent study showed that 17% of their users only signed up after they maxed out their credit cards and exhausted their other options. 48% had used it because they couldn't otherwise afford what they wanted to buy. This is getting way too common, whether it's for music festivals like Coachella, or just small things like Chipotle. And these are the people that these businesses target because they're the ones that won't really understand what they're getting into and are more likely to miss payments. A recent Bloomberg article tells the story of one person whose BNPL payments pushed their finances over the edge. Fresh out of college and juggling multiple jobs, she missed a single plane ticket repayment, and that's when her life spiraled out of control. As the debt piled up, the late fees and interest ate into her budget. Groceries, clothes, even rent, everything had to go on credit. She turned to payday lenders like Spot Loan, who charge up to 490% interest. And so, of course, she was soon bankrupt, thousands of dollars in the hole, all because of one missed payment. And in lots of cases like this, buy now, pay later acts like the gateway drug. The most damaging exploitation comes later on. The responsibility doesn't just lie with the lenders, of course. In most cases, bad financial decisions and misguided priorities are what land people in debt in the first place. Klarna even has a partnership with food delivery companies now, like DoorDash and Papa John's. Because as the economy gets worse and fast food prices get incredibly high, they now introduce the option to finance it all. This is only a thing because today, most people are so tight on money that they live paycheck to paycheck. High inflation, stagnating wages, and rising prices means that you can't afford to splash out. The things you used to enjoy but just can't afford anymore makes all this buy now, pay later stuff so tempting. And this entire industry is just profiting from this, like a cancer cell on a dying economy. I mean, it's a really damning indictment of the economy that their businesses have grown so much over just the past few years. And we've actually explored in a previous video how a whole generation has been locked out of the housing market, the job market, and even the traditional banking world. So it makes sense that since 2020, the number of young Americans using BNPL has risen by an astonishing 230%. This is a pure sign that consumer debt is skyrocketing and companies are becoming dependent on people living above their means. These are really bad warning signs. But sometimes it's really difficult to know what's actually happening as the media reporting on these monumental issues obscures facts with bias. Which is why I want to tell you about Ground News. Check them out at ground.news/moon and you'll see the news from every angle. As Ground News gathers over 50,000 sources from around the world every single day. So instead of getting trapped in one perspective, you can actually compare how different outlets are covering the same story. For example, let's have a look at this recent story on the US economy, where Trump is criticizing the Fed chair Powell for not cutting rates to boost the economy. With Ground News, we can see that 87 news sources are covering this along with the bias distribution. With this, we can see 32% for each of the left and center, and 36% on the right. We can then compare headlines and even do a bias comparison to see how the left highlights the insulting language of Trump in this case, along with his disrespectful behavior, and then we can see how the right is portraying Trump's critique as being justified due to the economic harm of high rates. You can even click and read each original source directly, with no algorithm deciding what you see, and you can actually compare all of these headlines for yourself. Then there's the blind spot feed. Every day, Ground News highlights about 20 stories that are being completely ignored by either the left or the right. And it's really an eye-opener as you'd never normally get access to these stories. Which really works well with their My News Bias dashboard, where you can see where your personal reading habits lean towards, and what perspectives you might be missing out on without ever realizing. So check them out today by going to ground.news/moon to see through media bias and become a smarter news consumer. And if you use my link, you'll get 40% off unlimited access this month. Before the 2008 crisis, rising default rates on mortgages were a warning sign. Once they got too risky, trillions of dollars staked on these mortgages vanished, and the whole banking system pretty much collapsed. And just like back then, we're seeing concerning signs. The number of people making late payments on BNPL has risen sharply. One poll found that this had gone from 34% of users last year to 41% in 2025. And with the US consumer spending pillar being one of the bedrocks of the economy, this is a terrible thing to be happening. Because with the rise of buy now, pay later, that spending is increasingly funded by people taking on debt rather than through their actual earnings. Which means we're now witnessing the collapse of this first pillar. And now, the second pillar of the economy, the promise of upward mobility through education, is also beginning to crack. You see, the very system meant to lift people up is now chaining them down with debt that follows them for life. And most of us already know today that college students take on huge amounts of debt just for a shot at a better job. But if it doesn't pay off, they're still stuck with mountains of debt, even without an income. In the first two decades of the century, the number of Americans with federal student loans doubled to 45 million. the total debt didn't just double, it quadrupled. Students today barely earn enough to survive, let alone build a life. And now they face $1.8 trillion in student debt. And this isn't all just inflation. A couple of decades ago, going to college was seen as a guaranteed way to climb the economic ladder. It's why everyone's parents tells them they need to go to university. Work hard, get a degree, and you could expect better job prospects and higher pay. But today, this just isn't the case anymore. In 2023, the average US student who borrowed graduated with nearly $30,000 in debt. There was even a CBS documentary on student loans featuring a story that might sound all too familiar. They showed this high school teacher, Lauren, who studied for a degree and later a master's to get her qualifications and begin her career. But despite having paid back $9,000 after graduating, it was nearly all just interest. In reality, her debt had only gone down by less than $100. And this is the case for so many people. This isn't just an isolated case. In 2019, the last full year before payments were paused during the pandemic, the Department of Education collected around $22 billion in interest from student loans. Many people simply couldn't afford to make repayments. That's why loan payments were frozen during the pandemic, just like in many other Western countries. The government knew the burden was too heavy, especially when so many couldn't even land a job. But despite things getting worse for millions, they've now decided it's time to collect them. So starting from May 5th, around 5 million student loan borrowers had their debt sent to collections. Another 4 million in late-stage delinquency could soon follow, as together, these groups make up nearly a quarter of all student debtors. That means withheld wages, some money that should have gone into people's pockets and back into the economy, that will now just stay in the government's hands. This will hit the first pillar even harder, which is already crumbling down. And that's why we're also seeing the second pillar falling. Students are taking on all of this risk, and most of the time, it's really never worth it. Of course, this can depend on the degree in person. But today, especially with lots of fields that used to be safe options, are now being thrown into jeopardy. So many middle management jobs, design jobs, engineering jobs, coding jobs, legal jobs are threatened by AI. Now, of course, AI can't do everything yet, but it can do lots of the entry-level work that used to act as a way into the industry for recent graduates. And with those jobs disappearing, it's harder and harder for people to get a foothold. And most degrees aren't STEM degrees, or even particularly job-focused degrees. Instead, we're seeing a concerning rise in junk degrees, where the entire education system says you need to go to college even if you don't have a specific skill that you're training for. So you go to college and learn something completely useless that you have slight interest in, all sold to you by colleges for financial reasons rather than to educate you. And while there's nothing wrong with the actual fields in most cases, there are just so many more graduates than there are jobs, and you could probably learn this stuff so quickly online anyway. People just go to college to not feel like a loser. And that system has tricked an entire generation into spending fortunes and getting into debt for life, which is representative of the wider debt economy. These are institutions that are completely reliant on this system of debt, which are themselves often heavily indebted. And this is where we start to zoom out. The cost of living crisis has pushed people to the brink. People are in debt and they're being forced to rely on things like buy now and pay later for anything, all while their student debt is soaring and the interest on that is crippling them. This is the case now for most people in the Western world. So as we can see, these two pillars are crumbling down. But what about the final two pillars of the economy? Well, let's move on to the third pillar, corporate health. The idea that companies borrow to grow and fuel the economy. But this has been flipped. Today we're witnessing a phenomenon where thousands of corporations are dead on the inside, walking forward only on borrowed money, otherwise known as zombie companies. These are large, publicly traded companies that have reached the end of their tether and whose debt interest actually equals or exceeds their income. Like a zombie, they slowly trudge forward, teetering on the edge of debt-induced bankruptcy while not making enough to grow or change their situation. In a healthy economy, they'd be rare, but today there are over 7,000, and the numbers just keep on rising. Sears and Bed Bath & Beyond are two of the largest. Globally, zombie companies have jumped nearly 30% over just the past decade. And for a while, low interest rates kept them afloat, but borrowing is more expensive now. And as interest rates climb, many won't be able to keep up soon. Corporate bankruptcies in the US have already hit a 14-year high. Often, these situations stem from mismanagement at the top, all designed to benefit executives and shareholders. You can actually see this across almost every major company. It's a game, how much can they extract without collapsing the business? But when things get desperate or greedy, collapse can come very quickly. all it takes is a shift in confidence, just like in 2008. Once the debt gets too heavy, the whole thing always collapses. All it takes is a change of opinion on whether the company can pay it back. Let's take the story of Thames Water. It used to be a part of the UK government set up to provide water to the Greater London area without trying to turn a profit. When the UK government sold the utility in 1989, it didn't have any debt at all. Until 2006, it took on some debt, but things were kept relatively stable. Then it was sold to an asset management firm called Macquarie, who had different plans. Almost immediately, they stopped planning property for the future. Vital infrastructure repairs and updates were put on hold or cancelled. In the first 2 years of their ownership alone, the company's debt almost doubled. Once they had sold it in 2017, the debt had tripled, rising from around £3 to over £10 billion. At the exact same time, dividend payments rose drastically. In year one, they paid out nearly three times as much as the year's profits to shareholders. Meanwhile, Thames Water led the way in just dumping sewage into the rivers and the sea, rather than actually dealing with it properly. Eventually, they sold it in 2017, but the damage was already done, and Thames Water's new corporate masters haven't changed their plan either. The government is now expected to pay this back, including the £23 billion in debt it had accrued. And the people running Thames Water had every advantage, a working business ready in place with a complete monopoly. They could have made plenty of profits legitimately. Instead, though, they made even more by just using the company as a vehicle for debt, jacking up the prices while degrading the service. The company got poorer, the infrastructure got poorer, and the customers got poorer. Meanwhile, the private shareholders like Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and China Investment Corporation pocketed billions in dividends from picking the company clean. This is a perfect case of how corporate management can intentionally run a company into the ground for profit, using debt as a way to fuel dividends for shareholders. And this practice is so incredibly common. The top US 11 corporations spent three times as much buying back their own stock as they did on taxes. It's money that goes to shareholders, not to improve the business or to lower costs for the consumers. And these buybacks are controversial for a good reason. They involve a company spending money on buying its own shares, reducing the amount in circulation, and therefore increasing the stock price, which is all just a way for shareholders to make their position worth more in the short term, often by using borrowed money. For example, in the US, two companies control 80% of the diaper market share, Kimberly-Clark and Procter Gamble. They've spent $18 billion in taxes, but over $125 billion has gone to shareholders. Their monopoly means they could have improved their products and actually kept prices low, but of course they wouldn't do this. They shockingly enriched their shareholders instead. And these kinds of decisions are a large reason behind the current cost of living crisis. Childcare costs have increased by $1,000 on average per child since the lockdown. And it's people being poorer, people having to get loans to buy a burrito, and having tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands in debt, is what makes shareholders profits. It's obvious these companies take advantage. Whether they're luring desperate consumers into instant loans with hidden consequences, or they're raising prices and pocketing the differences. And they don't care if the economy crashes, because then they can buy more stock and eventually own more and more in society. They'll literally even kill their own companies by drowning them in debt, like with Thames Water. It doesn't actually matter so long as they line their own pockets. And this mirrors the US completely as a whole. Government after government has taken out ludicrous amounts of debt. It's literally what caused Elon Musk to start hating on Trump. Because eventually, the bubble is gonna pop, and it's gonna be nasty. Because when the debt bubble explodes, the US will face one of the worst economic crashes in its entire history. Which leads us on to the fourth and final pillar, the government itself, its infrastructure, its stability, and its debt and promises. The US specifically is now at a point where 25% of all tax revenue goes to just paying the interest on $37 trillion in government debt, which really means it's only a matter of time before America is completely bankrupt, and the only thing your tax dollars are paying for is just debt. It's so bad that the US now has World War II amounts of debt, with no war even being fought. It's even more shocking when you realize $12 trillion of debt is what was added in just the last 4 years. And the interest on this debt is now more than what the US is spending on military expenditures. Decades of crises have driven up spending, but even during the calm periods, the debt has just kept on climbing. And so as of May 2025, the government debt is now more than triple the amount after the 2008 crash and far beyond the annual GDP. This number doesn't just reflect the deficit, it reveals how deeply the entire economy is entangled in debt. China's in the same situation, and so is almost all of Europe. So who's actually owning this debt? Well, mostly it's private, held through the US bond market. banks, pension funds, and investor loan money to the government in exchange for bonds, expecting safe returns. But that safety depends on confidence, and if investors begin to doubt the government's ability to pay back, or worry that this will inflate the currency to devalue what they're owed, everyone will sell. And this will trigger a giant spiral, where bond prices drop, confidence in the entire markets drop, and debt payments completely explode. And, quite frankly, it's already happening. As for the first time since 1994, investors are pulling money out of US bonds due to mounting instability, which was something that for the last few decades has been seen as one of the most secure places to put your money. Even if that collapse doesn't hit overnight, the cost is real now, as every dollar used to service debt is a dollar not spent on infrastructure, healthcare, or services that actually benefit society. Because right now, we're in the most productive, most technologically advanced, hardworking generation than we've ever seen before. And yet the roads are crumbling, hospitals are overwhelmed, and public services are falling apart. The streets are now overwhelmed with homeless, desperate people, and nobody can afford to even buy regular items without going into massive debt, all whilst living in an entire economy artificially propped up by this debt. The rewards of work and all your taxes are being siphoned off by interest payments on money we never agreed to even borrow. Nobody chose this, and no matter who you voted for, every government has expanded the deficit. And the negligence of those at the top knowing that sooner or later the next leader will deal with the issue means there's just no accountability for this giant issue. And yet the costs are pushed on to regular people, footing the bill for spending that was never even approved, which is a complete violation of the social contract to begin with. Which is why we're seeing these four pillars that held up the economy now crashing down in real time. And we're left living under that collapsing structure, hoping it doesn't fall today. But the warning signs are everywhere, and a massive collapse isn't guaranteed, but it is becoming much harder to ignore, with imminent bankruptcy in Western nations looming over. And we can't all just retreat into luxury bunkers like Zuckerberg, but we can take precautions. Start by knowing exactly where your money goes, cut unnecessary debt, pay off high interest loans, and build a buffer. And please, for the love of God, don't stake your financial future on a loan for a burrito.